Hello and welcome to our module looking at organic acids.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
The last section
is amino acid metabolites. And this is not a measure directly of how much of the amino acids you have in your system, but it's, again, it's functional. The amino acid test, which that will actually measure the amounts, the amount of the essential amino acids, the amounts of the non-essential amino acids, the conditionally essential amino acids. And I really like the way that report is, and we'll go over that. So she just has a few of these. She has mandelic acid, phenolactic acid, hydroxyphenolactic acid, and that. So I'm going to jot those things down. So as we go through those numbers, 66, 67, 70, and 73. So all of these have the same description. So elevations in any of these, the hydroxyisovaleric, oxoisovaleric, methyl 2-oxovaleric, hydroxycaproic, and oxoisocaproic. These are branched chain amino acids. Now, what are branched chain amino acids? Branched chain amino acids are the amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine, that can get converted into sugar, to fuel. So those are the ones that will be spared or will be sacrificed, let's say, to give you energy in the absence of sufficient carbohydrate or glycogen stores. So when you do something called gluconeogenesis, which is go out and find stores, like break down protein to form sugars, those are the three amino acids that are looked for that have the most efficient conversion. So when you have an increase in these metabolites, it could be that lactic acidosis. So you've exercised extensively and your body doesn't have the machinery in place to take it through the Krebs cycle, and you get a buildup of lactic acid in your muscles. There's conditions like short bowel syndrome, which you're not going to see often, if ever, but that's the hydroxyisocaproic acid. When you have a lot of these in the urine, it could be a genetic disorder. There's something called maple syrup urine disease or pyruvate hydrogenase deficiency. So these could be indicative of one of those inborn errors of metabolism, or it could be problems with the branched chain amino acids. So here's the next three. And she had the mandelic acid, which is increased by dietary phenylalanine or phenylalanine exposure, but also exposure to styrene. And the styrene, it would be found in styrofoam. So if you see this mandelic acid elevated, ask the person if they drink out of styrofoam cups or if they'd recently had something from styrofoam, because you're actually just drinking like a hot cup of tea or coffee the day that you're doing this test, and doing it in a styrofoam cup can increase the levels of styrene, the exposure to styrene, which would increase the mandelic acid. And did she have the metabolite of phenylalanine? Okay, so people, kids with PKU, or adults, I guess, kids with PKU who grow up to be adults, they need to watch how much phenylalanine they take in, because they can actually increase a level of these phenylactic acid, which could be toxic to them, and it actually can cause mental retardation. Phenylpyruvic acid, then again, from the phenylalanine, it could be a genetic state where they have the PKU or they're a carrier for PKU. And you want to look at these things again. It could also be related to folate metabolism. Homogentistic acid is related to genetic disorders as well. So when you have a slight increase, it may be that they're what's called a heterozygous genetic carrier, meaning they have one of the genes. So homozygous means both genes. So homozygous means they'd have both genes that are altered, and heterozygous means just one. So that could be that they have a carrier for this genetic marker. There's a lot of these. So this is one that she had. Increased hydroxyphenolactic acid. Again, tyrosinemias, which means tyrosine in the urine. She did have indications that she had excessive tyrosine going on in her pathways, like the homovanillic acid related to the dopamine synthesis. So again, that this can be related to gut. So much of these acids can be related to gut fermentation, and we really need to be addressing that in this person. And acetyl aspartic, it's really just related to this Carnivans disease, which can cause sponginess. The brain actually turns to a spongy tissue. It's a very serious disorder. And then the malonic acid. We had methyl malonic acid that we looked at earlier related to B12. And then this is all related to another malonic acid genetic disease. And the methylglutaric and methylglutaconic. These are basically related to leucine. Remember, we had leucine, isoleucine, and valine, which are the branched chain amino acids, and it, again, related to a genetic disorder, but also can be a problem with, again, CoQ10, niacin, carnitine, riboflavin, and the other B vitamins and vitamin E. And then we have hydroxyglutaric acid, which is related to coenzyme A. And the CoA, you remember, was really what everything got converted to in glycolysis before going into the Krebs cycle. Really important for energy metabolism. And again, related to a genetic disorder. So a lot of these amino acid indicators are related to genetic disorders. So this is the description that they gave me in the, said, okay, this person is high in mandelic acid. It's usually related to styrene. So we want to look at, has she been exposed to styrene? Is there an occupational thing? I mean, it's really styrofoam is the main environmental exposure that people might see. We know she doesn't have PKU. We know that she does have some problems with dopamine because she had that quinolinic acid elevation and the HMA, homovalinic acid. Anyway, so we're going to look at this again. It says vitamin C would be protective, but I'd be talking to her about, well, did you drink some coffee or tea out of a styrofoam cup right before you had the test done? The other thing that she had a problem with is marker 67, the phenylactic acid, high intake of dietary phenylalanine. So we're going to ask her about that phenylalanine supplementation because that's come up several times. It came up with the dopamine synthesis and the tyrosine synthesis with the quinolinic acid and the HMA. And then she has high hydroxyphenylacetic acid, again, related to the tyrosine. So you see, there's a lot, as you go through this, you're starting to pull the clues together. There's a lot that has to do with tyrosine metabolism, so we need to dig into that. And when we look at the amino acids, we'll see what's the deal with tyrosine. The last one that she has problem with are markers 73 and 75 with the methylglutaric acid and the methylglutaconic acid. And these, again, they're related to various things related to NAD, which is in that Krebs cycle, again, niacin dependent. And mitochondrial, this is pointing to mitochondrial dysfunction, which we saw earlier. And again, the kinds of supplementation and things we're looking at are carnitine, CoQ10, the B vitamins, biotin. So these things keep coming up. So it says to me that these are the important things that we're going to go for, is the stuff that is showing up in multiple places in her. And this is just a little disclaimer that they put in there, is that when you see low values in the amino acid metabolites, it doesn't mean that the person necessarily has a low protein or has specific amino acid deficiencies. They're more looking at the metabolic pathways. And when you want to see, do they have specific amino acid deficiencies, you're more likely to look at the amino acid test itself. The very last thing on this test is a bone metabolite. And for her, it was a little bit on the low side, outside of the optimal range, but still within the 95%. When you see a high phosphoric acid secretion, you start to think, is this person drinking lots of sodas? Are they eating a lot of things that contain high phosphates? A lot of animal products are high in phosphates, ice cream, chocolate, mayonnaise, you know, commercial stuff. And when people have excess of phosphoric acid, we're looking at the parathyroid and vitamin D. So we really want to look at that. She's on the low end, which is actually just fine. There's no problem. We want to look at, if it's low, we want to look at her vitamin D status, and I don't recall exactly what her vitamin D was on her latest report, but I believe it was on the low end of normal, and we talked about increasing that. The areas that I want you to look at, the handouts that I gave you, this one is from the Great Plains Labs, and it's the clinical significance of the organic acid test. These are just listed all straight down the row. What I tried to do and what I spent a lot of time doing for you, and I hope it works out in terms of being much more usable for you, is putting it into the presentation form and lumping them together with the sections of the test and some of the abnormals so you can see and numbering them. So as you're going through, you can look at the parts of the test and look at these breakdowns. I numbered them for you so that you could easily correlate them to the test results because they are all numbered on the test results. The other thing is the Metametrics one, yes, the Organics Interpretation Guide, and this is where I got a lot of those really cool flowcharts. And I would recommend you read it and highlight it and read it and highlight it, and it goes through the whole test. It's written kind of towards the patient. What I really like is this list that it has in the front, because this is going to help you, whether you do the Metametrics version of it or the Great Plains version of it, this is going to help you like summarize what some of the nutrient interventions that you could be doing based on what you find. It's slightly different order than the other. But you can certainly look, you know, oh, the succinate is high. She probably needs CoQ10, you know, 50 milligrams three times a day, and then magnesium, 500 milligrams. So it's really a nice little chart that you can use, because you're going to need cheat sheets to go through this test. It's a complicated test. It's an extremely complicated test. And like I said, until you go through dozens or hundreds of these, you're not going to really have this wired. You're going to need to use your interpretation guides. Even the person that I spoke to on the phone the other day, the doctor, she goes through thousands of these. She talks to people all the time. But still, she was like, oh, let me look that one. You know, and she was looking things up and thinking things through. It's not a formulaic. It's a think things through. Well, if this is low and this is high, does that make sense? Where would that make sense? And thinking it through. So utilize the labs, this lab, if you run it through the Great Plains Lab as just yourself, run it on yourself, you can call them up and they'll do an interpretation for you, which I think is really, really cool. I don't know how they can do that, but they do it. I guess a lot of people don't take advantage of it. You'll recognize a lot of the charts that I took from here, and it tells you a lot more about these things. They're slightly different tests, but overall they're testing very similar things. Different metabolites are used in different places. Okay?